purposely did not, or Wednesday evening, excuse me, I purposely did not say much at that time because I wanted to say what I had to say in this environment. The power of mentorship really is underestimated by many in the churches of Christ today. While there's nothing wrong, obviously, with any type of a school arrangement, we really need to get back to the concept of mentorship. Even if a young man goes to a school of preaching, he needs that training and that mentorship derived from an older preacher. And 2 Timothy 2:2 and many other passages convey that concept. Now, one thing that it does, it helps the young evangelist, the young minister, to be trained and to gather the experiences of things that oftentimes are simply not received in a limited environment. You know, a lot of people have knowledge, but they just don't have that wisdom and that experience to go with it. And so they have much trouble. And many young preachers, right, they would be advanced in so many ways and helped along the path of life. And the congregations would be blessed if we'd get back to that. So one of the things you guys need to do is search out some, if you're really interested in becoming an evangelist or any type of leader in the church, you really need to seek out somebody to be a mentor and stay away from the one that's necessarily the most popular. And, you know, you don't need someone about your age. I'm talking about an older person that you can see that they have been steady in their life. And one thing I want to say today is to thank Rick, because when I'm running the race, I've known him for many, many years. Here's one thing I know about Rick. If I look over, he's still going to be running. He's still there. He's on time. He's punctual. He has a strong work ethic, right? And that means something to me. A lot of people can start a race. I'm looking for the one that's going to finish the race. And so you want to surround yourself with spiritually successful people. That's a key to finishing the race. And so I don't know all your background. Many of you have parents that are your first, you know, your first area there in the congregation. But you need to make sure you do that. Now today we're going to be talking about sanctification. And to me, you cannot even begin to discuss the theme or the subject of sanctification without realizing the holiness of God. Hagios. The terms are not completely equivalent, but they're so closely related to discuss one is to have a knowledge of the other, right? Be ye holy, 1 Peter 1:16. For God says, I am holy. He is set apart. He is set apart. Now, there are holy things in the Old Testament, even physical objects, that were cleansed and set apart for use in the service of God. Then there's holy people. We are to be a holy people. One cannot be a set-apart person, a holy person, a saint, if you will. By the way, the word saint is the most descriptive, most often found word that describes who we are in the New Testament above and beyond any other. The name Christian, our name, is given three times in the text of the New Testament, but the descriptive word, right, of what we are in relationship to God, the called-out, separated ones, saints, in reference to both the process of sanctification and the holiness of God, that term describes us more than any other. So we are to be a separated people. Now, this is not a soapbox. This is God's box. We are to be a separated people. And I'm going to tell you, brethren, something. We've got too many ministers, too many husbands, and I'm preaching to men today because it's a men's conference, right? Too many members, too many husbands, too many fathers, too many preachers and elders who struggle in their personal life in regards to the doctrine and the process of sanctification. It doesn't matter how much you know. Now, by the way, you have to know God's will to be sanctified, right? But it's more than just a knowledge understanding. It's you have to build character and understand that you are set apart for a distinctive purpose in Christ. Y'all are going to make a lot of decisions. And by the way, in my session, y'all are about to read. I've heard the preachers all week. Y'all are about to read. So all of y'all better get your Bible out and get ready. I'm going to be calling on you just immediately. And I'm going to be asking some tough questions today. And I want you young men scattered out, you young men, to answer these questions. We're about to be talking about pornography. We're going to be talking about suicide a little bit. We're going to be talking about sexual sin. We're going to be talking about what your eyes see, dating, courting, marriage, real life. It's about to happen. How old are you? 20. You married yet? tuck your shirt in and iron those pants, well, you might have a chance. No, you know, I'm kidding a little bit. I'm kidding a little bit. But I will say this while I'm on that topic. I am a stickler in dress. I do believe the people of God ought to dress as though we are a sanctified people. I am the son of a king. Think about it. You remember years ago in the book that was written about the life of C.R. Nichols, a very famous, and I use that word, you know, lightly, but a very, let's say, well-known gospel preacher. While he was in Seminole, Oklahoma, he was a horticulturalist. He loved to plant and grow all kinds of flowers, and he was dedicated in the book, and a great man, and he was walking down the street, and someone said, kind of under their breath, oh, he thinks he's the king, because he wore a suit every day. And he said, no, I am the son of a king. I'm not saying you have to wear a suit every day, but here's the point I'm making. As we go through all these things in this lesson today, which will not be within 45 minutes, I can tell you right now, because we're talking about some things that are more important than physical food. Those sisters can wait. Now, that's the difference between a white congregation. Y'all with me? And a black congregation. White brethren, that's all they see is a clock. We're trying to see God. And no man can see God unless he's holy. Y'all with me? Now, this is serious. Hebrews 12 and 14. No man can see. What do you need?
Are you white or black?
Both. Both. But I'm serious here. But here's one thing we all know. No man can see God without holiness. Hebrews 12 and 14. Young people, this is it. If there's one sermon, that's why I love, when I got that assignment, I thought, oh yeah, I want this one. Because this is where we're failing. You have to practice sanctification. It is a process. It does not happen immediately. Now, when you're converted to Christ and when you initially receive by the grace of God through your faithful obedience, the blood of Christ, when the blood of Christ applied, when you come out of the grave of baptism, you didn't have a sin on you. Not one. Not one. You take all your sins, you write them upon a chalkboard, right? In a figurative sense. God, through Christ, erased every single sin. Every one of them. Now, your consequences might have still been there physically, but I mean your spiritual. The sins are gone. You're holy. Because you can't go into the Holy of Holies in the Old Testament, right? Unless you're the high priest. Sin has already been forgiven. You can't enter into the church of Christ. You can't enter into that type that looks forward to heaven. You can't enter into the church unless you're clean. God's holy. Now, we need more teaching on holiness. Hagios, the holiness of God. The absence of sin. A character and a trait and an attribute that defines really who God is. He's not like man in that sense. And our culture, and we have a really despicable culture, that we have bred of our own failures, of our own sins, that seeks to tolerate and accept everything. Can someone name something that's not accepted in society? Just give me something. Well, could you give me something? Yeah, our society right now. What? Oh, yeah, assembly. But I'm talking about, you know what I mean? You roll back the clock 30, 40 years ago. Could you imagine in the Bible Belt and somebody's preaching and teaching and we're in class and someone says there'll be a day and an hour where two men can, quote, according to civil law, legally marry, adopt children, and go forth. Would anybody have thought that would have happened? No. Because we underestimate the influence of Satan and the ignorance of people. And the lukewarmness. We really are moving into lukewarm. Young people, I'm telling you, I'm not trying to browbeat you, but I am trying to light a fire. You have now, it's in your hands where you're going to be 10, 15 years from now for the most part. Now, God's providence plays a part, obviously, some things that are beyond your control, but I'm talking about, let's talk about the things that you can control. You can control what you think. You can control how you act. You can control how you respond. You can control who you marry. You can control how you view women. You can control if you're going to go home tonight and in the privacy, right, and pull out that cell phone and start looking at dirty pictures. You can control those things. And if you don't learn to have discipline in your life, you're never going to be successful in the process of sanctification. Sanctification is a choice. Now, here's the issue. I talk about this when I go to meetings and youth functions. Parents, most of these young men sitting right here, most all of them have already viewed pornography. I promise you that. Statistics, I know. Some of you sitting here are already addicted to it. I didn't say all, I said some. Statistically speaking, now, I'm not falsely accusing. Y'all with me today? Statistically, most have seen it. I never will forget the first time, Price, which, hey, I'm not one of those parents that don't see wrong in my own kids. Price is a wonderful young man. My heart just pounds for my oldest son. All of them, but I mean, Price is just moving in the right direction. But I never will forget the first time, I think he was around 12, he'd been in a baseball game and he went home with somebody for just a little while. And of course, I found that he wasn't going back over there much more because guess what? Single mom doing the best she can, but a divorced home and the dad's not home and the young man. So first of all, Price comes, he's in tears and he saw something. Right? That's right. We had to have a discussion right there. There's where it comes. Now, folks, this is real talk. And if you're not willing to have these discussions in the congregations when it's applicable, like we have young men here, right? We're not in a mix. This is the time to have it. Because how you view women and what you're doing right now, and you are doing things to your mind. What you do to your mind now is going to affect your bedroom and your marriage when you move into that arena. The Bible's clear, folks. Hebrews 13:4. Marriage is honorable. I hope all you young men find a wonderful, godly wife someday and enjoy all the pleasures of marriage and even the bed associated with it. Because actually, sex is not dirty in any sense of the word when it's found in the place that God put it. But it's when we, right, it's when we strip it from its design and misuse it, then every word you can think of doesn't even sound well to speak of. Throw me out some words, young people, that are sinful, associated with sex when it's out of place. Fornication. Adultery. Come on, we're not through. Molestation. That sound good to say? Incest. Does that sound good? Bestiality. How about that one? Does that sound good to y'all? All of these words and more are words that graphically describe a person that is not sanctified. I'll tell you guys something. Any of you young men, I mean, I don't know the ages here. Are most of you men obeyed the gospel and serve in the church? You better make sure when you get up here to lead the congregation, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, that you're sanctified. Y'all with me? You got to have the courage. If you're on the list to lead prayer and you know that you're addicted to something like that, you need to remove yourself and go get help. Talk to one of these elders. You talk to the elders and you get help. And until that time, remove yourself. You cannot serve in the house of God. The Bible does not say men lead in the church. Who does the Bible say that leads in the church? Yeah, but I'm talking about like in prayers and Lord's Supper. Specifically, what kind of men lead us in the church? Holy men. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 8. I will that men pray everywhere. Holy hands. We're not talking about some physical jumping up and down. We're talking about a lifestyle that is depicted, a sanctified heart that's been set apart, practicing holiness, hagios, separation from this world, a free will abandonment, a choice to abandon oneself from the principles of the world that he might acknowledge and be prepared and meet for the master's use. I'll tell y'all, if we're talking about sins that affect us, there is no sin in today's culture that's more prevalent and that's more prominent, that's more disturbing and divisive than the sin of pornography. I know, because I'm a preacher. I get knocks on my door all the time, even from the small conservative congregation where I preach. Lots of great folks, very similar here to BCS because we're in a college town. But the congregations are almost identical in many, many ways. And I love every one of those young men. By the way, it's not only young men. Y'all don't kid yourself. These young girls looking too. And young men, I want you to think about this. Every time you look on that phone that you think is private, and there's no such thing as private, but it's all recorded. what you Google, right? What you share, what you send, Snapchat, it disappears. They don't disappear. They just tell you it disappears. There's nothing that cannot be retrieved. Everything, your entire life, your identity, your political beliefs, your religious beliefs, the places that you go, the places that you travel to, the places that you frequent, the things that you Google, the people that you're friends with, your alliances, your likes, your books, your movies, everything about you, they know. Now, if you live in the Christian life, who cares? Right? I don't care if they know I'm at Home Depot. I don't care. You see what I'm saying? I'm trying to get real practical this morning. But I'm going to tell you guys something. I love you. But when you start looking at those things, you can't be sanctified. It's impossible. You can't. Sanctification is a separativeness. 2 Corinthians 6:17, come out among them and be ye what? Holy, separate, distinctive, removed from. You've got to be distinctively separated so that you can be prepared. 2 Timothy 2 says, meet and ready for the master's use. Now, what I want to talk about is this. One of you go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and be getting ready to read. And when you read, young man, here's how I want you to read. Loud and slow. Don't read like this. Speak up and read. And when you get up here to lead prayers on Sunday morning, right, how should you lead a prayer? There's people that are older. They have hearing aids. Some people speak where people can hear you. Speak up. Now, when we're talking about sanctification, Paul deals with this in a mighty way in 1 Thessalonians 4 because your body, the way in which you possess discipline in your heart and rule over yourself through God's teachings, is one of the easiest ways to determine whether or not that you are moving towards sanctification. So, I mean, the bad news is this. If you are currently addicted to pornography, there's no way to be sanctified. You just can't. You're not sanctified. You're just as lost as the person that's never obeyed the gospel. Y'all with me? This is serious stuff. This is not something that, so, well, he's growing and developing. No. Growth and development is all of us, right? I'm still growing and developing. But when there is a sin that is besetting you, that has a hold on you, the first thing you're going to have to do, you can't serve anybody right now. Forget about serving in the church. If Jason right now, I hate to pick on poor Jason, but if he right now was to fall over, just slump. Now, I've had that happen twice. You ever had that happen when you're preaching? Somebody in the auditorium, just, I don't mean anybody's passed away, but I've had somebody have a stroke while I was preaching. Talk about an odd sensation. You look over there and you think, anybody realize what's going on? That's what you're like spiritually if you're addicted to pornography. You can't get up and, I couldn't ask the brother, if you come lead prayer, well, why would I ask the brother? He's in medical, he needs an ambulance. He needs help now. Stop the service, get him an ambulance. Then we'll go back to worship, right? Take care of the brother. Well, same way spiritually. It doesn't mean your life is over, but I'm going to tell you guys something. If you don't get a handle on it, it will be over. You've got to stop. No service right now. Now I need help. I need somebody to serve me. I need help. And that's why we have elders, guys. Elders is not about roofs and buildings and that kind of junk. We have deacons. Elders primarily need to be handling the counsel of the church. Young people, before you get married, go talk to the elders, not the preacher. Go talk to the elders. Elders need to be engaged in these things. When an elder or elders see a young person dating or moving into an area in their life that they know is not going to further their cause of Christ and help them to provide a Christian home, elders practically need to call that person aside and give them discussion points. Y'all see this? That's what an elder does. Now, here we are. I'm not going to ask, I would never embarrass somebody on the spot as to ask who is and who's not. But I want to ask these questions. How many people do you think y'all's age, percentage-wise, have viewed pornography? than parents? Now, not every parent can say, not my little Johnny, if 80% are done or have. Now, sometimes, like my son, sometimes the first glance is innocent. Well, I'll be honest with you. I've seen pornography, too. Because when you're driving down the road and you happen to look over and a woman drinking a Coors beer behind a boat skiing, you know, and she's got a bikini on, what do you think that is? That's soft, according to how they term it. It's soft pornography. God says it's nakedness. It's nakedness. Now, so we've all, see, that's pornography. Now, I have to recalibrate immediately my eyes, right? Think about a scripture. Say a prayer. Remove that. But if that stuff starts staying in your mind, now you're going to want what? More. Now what's next? Then you got to come off. You see how now people get into the sin and the enslavement and the bondage of pornography? And by the way, people sometimes that are highly controlling husbands, I've noticed this in the times I've discussed with people, they have a problem with pornography. Because in pornography, who's in control? When do you turn it off? When you're through. Off. When do you get rid of the woman? Surely y'all ain't looking at men. Well, when do you, that's a whole other discussion. When you, I'm serious though, when do you put the off button? When you're through. So you're in control, and the lady becomes a disposable piece of property. Now that's not how we're to view women. By the way, how many of you want some man looking at your sister or your mother? None of you? Well, I mean, if 80% are looking, we got to have somebody to look at. And we can't just have people we don't know. I mean, we got to have, you know what I mean? This is the kind of discussion that we need that has not been in the church as much as it should have been. We're to preach the whole counsel. And these things, when you talk about evil concupiscences, lasciviousness, youthful lust, when we talk about fleeing fornication, in our generation, now all sin has always been the same. There's always been nakedness. David walked out in the evening tide upon the roof and looked down and saw Bathsheba, right? The first glance, possibly, depends upon how you take the passage, could have been innocent. But when he called and summoned for her to come up, there was no innocent bone in his body. And it haunted him the rest of his life. And it cost him the death of a child. And it cost him friends. And it cost him his influence. It cost him his reputation for a while, right? And even God was displeased with David, the great king that he was. And oh yes, he found forgiveness in the end, but it did not remove the earthly and physical consequences from the decision that he had made. Y'all think divorces just happen overnight? You know why many divorces happen in this day and age? Pornography. Somebody starts talking to somebody, some high school sweetheart on Facebook. Older men, y'all better not be doing that. You don't need to be doing that. You don't hide and take out of transparency, right? If you need to discuss something with a woman, you either CC your spouse on the email, right? Or you have a joint Facebook account. If you are emailing and messaging ladies on the side, that tells me you're already willing to break yourself down in some areas. And young men, if you start preaching and someone wants to come talk to you, I've had this rule a long time. You know why I have it? Because he taught it to me. You don't speak to women alone. I'm not going to counsel, right? Jason's wife calls me and says, Brother, well, she wouldn't do it anyway, but I'm just using an example. Brother Stubblefield, you know, Jason's, you know, listen, y'all. I'm going to tell y'all, women are aggressive. This isn't 1950. Sometimes women are attracted to power, and they think that a minister equals power. That's not what it's about, but I mean, in their feeble mind, they see that. Would he fall? Would he cave? A challenge. You better be very careful. And so a lot of it is not just about, well, I'm strong enough. You're not strong enough to resist some of these things. You have to be smart enough never to put yourself in the situation to begin with. Most of it is preventative maintenance. Take heed, lest you fall. Right? You have to be thoughtful and deliberate in each action you take. So if a young lady needs to be counseled or talked to, nothing wrong with that. But my wife and I are going to have, well, I don't want anybody to know but the preacher. I'm sorry. I'm sorry because my wife and my children mean more to me than the lady does. Y'all see what I'm talking about? My family means more to me. You got to decide what you're going to do. Life is about decisions. And as our society becomes becomes more and more, quote, tolerant and accepting of things, sexuality has been the very thing that the devil has used to break down the fundamental truths of the gospel, the fundamental truths of how we live our lives, how we think about things. The devil has used sex to destroy, misuse that term, and to destroy much of our thinking. So now let's get right back to what we're talking about. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Josiah, do you have that one?
Furthermore, then we will beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received us, how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more.
How you ought to walk and please God, so that you can abound more and more. God, through His Word, tells us how we can be successful. You want to abound? I'm not talking about money. Forget the money. Let's talk about something very important. How many of you here someday are looking possibly to have a wife? All of you? Anybody want to just stay single forever? Nothing wrong with it. No, hey, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm just asking. But every one of you someday desire a wife, all right? Are you prepared right now to take a wife? I'm asking. I'm not trying to be rude. I'm asking. Is any young man here right now prepared to take a wife? See, you got to be prepared to work in the church, according to 2 Timothy 2. Prepared, meet, and ready for the master's use. Well, you have to also be prepared before you can take a wife. I'm not giving my precious little daughter to some of y'all. Why would I? You have to show me, and you have to earn my respect, because we're old-fashioned. I'm not one of those. You're not going to come knocking on my door, you know, pants down to here, rings everywhere, tats everywhere. You're not going nowhere but to a Bible study with me. I'm just telling you. I didn't raise my daughter to get in that kind of mess. And my son knows. I'd be the first one to rip him up one side down the other if he mistreated a young lady. How we treat women is one of the primary ways in which we may determine as Christian men whether or not, we have been set apart as Christians. Integrity, right? The way we speak, and if I had young ladies in the audience, I would caution them. Note how they speak to their mother. Do they take care of the women in their family? You know, I have some older aunts that don't have a lot. I have a grandmother that doesn't have a lot. We make sure we take care of those women in our family. Our family. Yes.
Treating your mother, don't do that.
Amen. If your father is mistreating your mother, you got to break the cycle. You know, listen, I'm glad you brought that up. Every family may have some, quote, not-so-good attributes, right? If there's a not-so-good attribute, a sin, a dysfunctionality in your home, you take the good with you and you leave the bad behind you. Don't be afraid to cut. Don't make your family a replica of your parents' family, especially if and when that replica would magnify the fault of dysfunctionality that ultimately God says is a sin. 1 Thessalonians 4, number 2. Caleb, would you read that passage?
For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus.
All right. Christ, read verse 3.
For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication.
Notice the connection between commandments and sanctification. There is no way to be set apart the glory of God unless you know and follow the commandments of the Bible. The teaching, the Word of God. We've heard this all my life, right? But even though we've heard it, I'm telling you what happens. It's kind of like when the preacher gets up on Sunday morning and he's getting close to the end. I've had this happen. I try not to let the brethren know. I try to sneak it up on them. Because if you let them know, you know what you're going to hear a bunch of? If they think you're getting close, what did you hear? You hear songbooks coming out. What are they getting the songbooks out for? Because it tells me they're not listening. They're going through another motion. Listening requires really some interaction most of the time today, because we've allowed gaming and the constant movement of our mobility, the constant eye-hand coordination with gaming and phones. We've reduced our ability and our attention span to listen for any length of time. By the way, best lessons this week. I won't try to pronounce the brother's name. I asked him, but I've already forgotten. But that was a marvelous lesson. Brother Israel had a marvelous lesson. Those two to me at the top of the lessons this week. But they were so in-depth and challenging. I'm wondering how many of you all had the ability and the discipline to listen and to retain that marvelous teaching. You've got to train yourself. Now let me tell y'all something. When we talk about verse 3, read it one more time louder for us.
This is the will of God, the king's decree. What is the will?
Even your sanctification that you should abstain from fornication.
Even your sanctification. Now, that means concerning your sanctification, my sanctification. Because God's not going to save anybody that's not sanctified. A holy God is going to bring to heaven his holy people. We got to make sure we get this down, guys. This is it. Where the rubber meets the road, the old saying is. So if I'm addicted to anything, by the way, but today we're talking about our physical bodies being engaged in ruthless activity, and it is ruthless. If we're engaged in immoral activity, what's happening is I'm no longer set apart. James 4 makes it clear. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Remember earlier when the brother was teaching from the poetic literature in Psalm 119, when he mentioned it was an alphabetic psalm, which means that each portion begins with a particular letter of the Hebrew, and Beth, beginning at verse 9, every young man needs to memorize this. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way, but by taking heed thereto to the word of God. To the word of God. And then in two verses later, he said, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Here's what happens. Culture is so loud and proud, it's hard for us to, I know y'all are thinking, oh, this is a little bit hard, a little bit dated. It's not dated. It's dated in the sense of it's written a long time ago, but it's new, fresh, and clean in the sense that it never grows old, the teaching that this gives us. Now, I want to ask y'all a question. What are some things that you think could happen if you were addicted to pornography? You're eventually going to lose your soul. That's right. And that happens sooner than later. Because the first, like I said, an innocent glance, someone brings it to you, that's one thing, all right? God's gracious. God's judicial. But now, the next few days, you began to just start Googling and searching and enamoring yourself and pleasuring yourself by that. Now what? Now what state are you in? You're lost. You're in sin. Pervert your mind. Your mind is a chamber, a sponge. It's a storehouse, a filing cabinet, a place that is going to be filled with something. Your mind will be filled with something. That's not negotiable. The question is, what will your mind be filled with? Philippians 4 gives us a divine prescription or recipe to help channel our thoughts upon those things that would fill our sponge or our filing cabinet with the holiness and splendor of God and not the mundane carnal things of this world. Now, what else will pornography lead to? Yes, sir, brother.
When you ultimately get married, you don't have sexual satisfaction because you have a perversion of the Gentile world in terms of confusion. And so now you have desires for the Gentile world that can't be satisfied by your struggle.
Amen. Y'all get that? See, Gentiles do things, they're engaged in things. He's talking about from that biblical perspective there, the Gentile relationship, they were in the world. So they're going to be engaged in things that's unscrupulous. And so now as a husband and you marry a fine Christian woman, and by the way, if you're going to marry a woman and you have been addicted to that, you need to tell the lady up front. You don't hide and deceive people into marriage. You need to be transparent. If you've dealt with it and you've moved past it and repented, all right, but let them know. You need to have that conversation. So here it is. So now you get into this movement, and you're in the marriage bed, and now because of your mind has been so perverted in other areas, now you're wanting to engage in things that are unlawful, right? And put that upon your less beautiful wife and the woman of God that she is. The
satisfy your previous perverted mind that has been allowed, right? You allowed Satan to come in and to pervert you. By the way, the Bible talks about in Romans, you know, unnatural. Unnatural. Brother Bonner, did you have something?
See that, y'all?
She's no porn star. Eventually, young man, here's what's going to happen. It's not enough to see it. Now what? Why do you think little children are molested? Why do you think Dateline and some of those groups, remember that where they set people up and you got a guy, a good-looking man, he's 25, 30 years old, and he's coming over and he's trying to be with the girl 12 or 13. What's wrong with him? What's wrong with him? Well, here's what it is. He's allowed his mind to become sickened and perverted and full of poison and evil and sin. He can no longer look at a lady the way God intended him to look, not even his own wife, because his mind has, so he's trying now to be pleasured in unholy ways because it started with an improper view. Your eyes, listen, things come into your eyes, Brother Light.
Porn star is not a porn star either. She's a prostitute. She is usually a drug addict. And the very progressive nature, even pornography, it still progresses into more deviance, more creativity, more abuse, more perversion, because there is no satisfaction of human sexual desires outside of the home that God designed it, regardless of how it is.
No, amen.
Special situations where a person is deep and dark in these things and they need a lot of work to get through that. I'm not saying that, okay? I get that. But I'm going to tell you something. A shrink, a psychiatrist, psychologist, all these social ways to get through all this, God gives the way to handle it. He says, stop it.
Amen.
That's what he said. Stop it.
Amen.
So he said, well, what do we do? How do we counsel? I think, stop. Quit looking at this stuff. What are you doing?
You start looking outside of God's house for counsel, that's very, very dangerous.
John Hall hit on it yesterday on addiction. He said,
amen.
Get rid of that TV, telephone, whatever, right? You can't handle it, get rid of it.
Hyperbolic is the word you use. Excellent word. Hyperbolic instruction meaning exaggerated truth for a particular point. Jesus used that often, right? It doesn't mean it's an untruth. It just means it's an exaggerated to make a point, to make a very good point. If your right hand offends you, what did John say yesterday? Quote the Bible. Cut it off. So if you cannot, if you don't have the discipline in your life to have a TV and to only turn it to the channels that are good programming and what's right, then get rid of the TV. Pop culture. It's accepted. It's the norm.
And so you're going to have to remove and isolate yourself from popular culture because it's not 1950.
That's right.
It's all inundated in all of premium television and not even basic television in terms
right.
of acceptability.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
They have the quote-unquote soft porn that goes on in between the quarters. You know what? I read the program. I go to the bathroom. I don't look at that stuff. In fact, I sometimes look at the people beside me. They're not Christians, and I'm amazed at the people that are watching that stuff, men and women. Okay?
And young men, when you get older and you have children, listen to me. You need to think long and hard when it comes to things like cheerleading, when it comes to your daughters being involved in certain things. Now, I'm not saying, you know, that. Hey, I saw one private school. the ladies wore sweatpants. I mean, just baggy sweatpants. There's nothing wrong with, you know, with saying go whatever it is, be in sweatpants. But now if you're in a skirt that tall and they're jumping up and around, something's wrong with that. We've got to get back to the point where young men are so in love with God. That's what my goal is right here. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Somebody read that, one of you young men. My prayer for you is the same that Paul had to Thessalonians. I want you guys to flourish. I want you to be successful. I want to see deacons and elders and evangelists come out of this room someday. It's going to set the world off with Christ. We're not interested in status quo. A lot of churches of Christ aren't even preaching these things. I'm talking about, we want you guys to have a head start in the right way. What does the Bible say there?
Spirit and your whole soul be preserved blamelessly unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is coming back, and he's coming back for his children that are holy and that are looking for him. Hebrews 9:28. Now let's go back to 1 Thessalonians 4. Read verse 3 one more time, and then verse 4, Christ.
For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication.
Abstain. What does the word abstain mean, young men? Stay away. None. Zero. Zilch. None. It means you're going to have to deliberately work at keeping yourself pure. Paul told Timothy. Timothy was not at first. People misuse 1 Timothy 4:12. He wasn't a teenager. He wasn't a college guy. He was older. About my age. And if people my age have to work double hard, right? How hard are you guys going to have to work? So I have somewhere, just to be truthful, I have somewhere that God has ordained for me to receive. Right? Hebrews 13:4. You guys don't have a place yet. You've got to be cautious. The will of God is that you abstain from fornication. I want you to tell me, you young men, what the difference between fornication and adultery is. Physical adultery. What is the difference between fornication and adultery? He said close, but not specific enough.
Fornication is outside marriage. And adultery is specifically cheating on your spouse.
Fornication is illicit intercourse, right? It's a broader term. In other words, it would include bestiality. It would include incest. It would include adultery. Homosexuality. It would include, you know, whatever it would be. And the reason I bring this up, now here's what's interesting, young people. That word from the Greek is translated porneia. Now, pornography is not a reason that you may divorce your spouse and remarry. But pornography is something that will destroy your marriage. It will destroy your marriage. Because it will break down all the trust. It will break down all kinds of things in your marriage that will lead to a cascading downward spiral of events that, unless immediately rectified, will end in a very bad and tragic way. Now, read verse number 4.
That every one of you should know how to possess the vessel in sanctification and honor.
Possess. Discipline. Everyone has to work. I mean, hey, I'm working on myself. This is nothing that we just overcome if we're through with it, right? This is ongoing. So I want you all, my prayer is that you would deliberately try your dead level best to work on these substances. Well, I'm not addicted to pornography. Great. But you still got to work on it. You got to work on avoiding those things, right? And so, in closing, I want y'all to give me 2 or 3 thoughts here. Oh,
I just want to say this much. We can take a little bit of a break. When he says it's saying from fornication, here's the thing. You can.
Amen.
It's possible to do that. It is possible. And you know what? If you've engaged in any of these things, you can stop, repent, get forgiveness, and do better and go forward.
Right.
Thank you.